Okay, now we're going to book of Numbers, 20th chapter.
Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, If only we had died when our brother died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals. So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock. And he said to them, Hear now, you rebels! Must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Now Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, You know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your border. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Edom said to them, You shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with the sword. So the children of Israel said to him, We will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I will pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. Then he said, You shall not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I have given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up to Mount Hor. And strip Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son. For Aaron shall be gathered to his people, and die there. So Moses did, just as the Lord commanded, and they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, and put them on Eleazar his son. And Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, all the house of Israel mourned for Aaron 30 days.
The 20th chapter is, and we will look at it more carefully, it is at the end or close to the very end of the 40-year period. All right? Because the rest of the book from this point on talks about their what's happening as they travel into or try to get into the promised land. The 40 years is coming to an end. And it's about time for some other things to take place. Now, we're not exactly at the 40th year, but awful darn close to it. I'll explain this as we keep going. If we remember, I want to bring into to remembrance, in the 14th chapter, we were talking about or come to know about the people lifting up their voice and complaining that God would have that we die in the wilderness. Remember that, the story about them? And God heard it, and guess what he did? He had them die in the wilderness. And the 15th chapter, real quickly, just to brush up, this is when they kind of rejected going into the promised land. And the punishment that Yahuwah did and brought upon them because they'd rejected going in. Remember the spies? And so we keep on going in this story. Now we're at this 19th chapter or 20th chapter. And you remember what happened in the 16th chapter of the book of Numbers? That's when the spies decided to do something. But something else happened in the 16th, not before that, afterwards. But something happened very strongly in the 16th chapter. You remember what happened in the 16th chapter?
The rebellion.
The what?
Rebellion of Korah.
Right. Now, that was a very major thing. So major that what happened at the end of that story? Okay, everybody, I can't hear everybody at the same time. How?
Flame and fire.
Okay. Why did he do it? Why? He didn't even give warning. Remember? He gave no warning. Bamble. What were the people accusing? Who were they accusing? Who were they blaming? Aaron and Moses for the death of Korah and 150 of the Levites and the family of the two Reubens. And that was it. And that, we don't know how many that died of family of Reuben. We don't know the number. But they were mad and blamed Moses and Aaron because they don't see, quote, the hand of God in this yet. We have this wonderful thing that God has granted us. He granted us insight. The only reason why he granted us insight is because we look back at the hindsight. Then we understand what his picture is. So we got a picture where God is going or taking people. And sometimes we could look at it and say, how dumb can they be? No, they're there for us to learn something. So we will have insight of what God does and what he thinks. In the 20th chapter here, we're going into a point, and it just opens up a statement. It's a very interesting statement. He says, and it came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, or the, basically the leadership of the congregation, into what's called Midbar Zion. Midbar is a meaning in Hebrew. It just means an area where it's called wilderness. It can be a desert. It can also be an open field where no one lives. In the United States of America, we have an awful lot of the prairie ranges were midbar. They were places where the people didn't live. You couldn't live there because you couldn't withstand the tornadoes. You'd be dead. The people lived there for years. And it's a place where you don't live. It's out there. It can be even deep in the forest in our country. We call a deep forest the wilderness because it's a place where people don't really live. Now, things live there, but people don't. There's no habitation of people. But this particular place is a very interesting place. What was the name of the place? We'll get there in a minute. Remember, Miriam died there. Now, it's very fascinating. Listen to this thing. In the first month, they abode in where? Kadesh. Now, Kadesh, we will find out, we'll try to learn, is in the area called the Wilderness of Zin. Now, when you go and research where this place is at, it goes back, dates back to the time of Abraham. And it was, remember, during the time of Abraham, did Abraham own the land? No, he did not. It did not belong to Abraham, did not belong to Isaac, did not belong to Jacob. It was to be brought to the people of Israel over 400 years later. and that particular city is very, very far south. What we would call modern Judaism today, or even doing the Bible in the book of Judaism, Kadesh is a city, a small city, and it's on the very southern area to the far east. And it's right on the border, that biblically speaking here, it's right on the border where Edom was at. It wasn't in Edom, it was on the border. It was a border town at that particular point in time. Now, that place is where Miriam died. And she died in the first month. And this first month, what has happened the first month? Passover. Now, it doesn't tell you the day. It doesn't tell you they moved in there and they transferred there, got there on the first day. It doesn't tell you they got in there on the 15th day. It doesn't tell you anything. All it's telling you at this particular point, this introduction, this chapter, is Miriam died there in the first month. And we say, first month of what year? So we have to kind of look and see and study and find out approximately when this was. She didn't die before the spies went in. She died sometime after the spies went in. She didn't die during the time before Korah. She died sometime after Korah died. And she was older by, I think, like 6 years, maybe even 8 years older than Moses was. So she died a relatively, quote, old lady, end quote. So we have get that in picture in mind. Very important that it's important that this particular chapter opens up and talks about the death of Miriam. That Miriam dies in this particular place, at this particular time, at this particular point in time of the year. In the first month. Now, as we continue on, verse 2, and he says, and guess what? There was no what there?
Water.
Now, how often has God sent them to where there is no water? Well, at least no, two, maybe three times. We know one for sure is when they left the land of Egypt, right? And they crossed over the Red Sea, and they were in the, I think it's the third day, if I'm not mistaken, that they had to run into a place where there was no water. And guess what they did? They complained. Well, you know, if you were in their shoes, and you were thirsty, your children are thirsty, crying for water, what would you do? Say, oh, shut up, kid. No, you'd be human, right? You say, where's the water, Moses? You take us someplace. Well, the cloud took them there, remember? And then God took them to a place where there was, we'll get to that in a minute, where their water was there, but what was wrong with the water? Bitter means made them sick. And that conclusion, we'll go back to that in a minute. And that conclusion, God said something about that. And he led them there specifically for this purpose. Now, as we go into the 20th chapter, we can find a little interesting statement. And he says, verse 3, and the people chided or quarreled with Moses and said, would Elohim that we had died with our brethren died before Yahuwah. Now, that was way back during the 16th chapter. Over 14,700 died. What kept them from any more dying? What did Aaron do? He ran and separated between the dead and the living. What did he take with him? He had took the censer with the incense in it. Now, he wasn't told by God to do that. Who told him?
Moses.
Very, very important that we keep this kind of thing in mind, because it's very important that we understand the end of this, what's happened in this chapter, that at this particular point in time, we're at the very close to the end of the 40 years, and there was a very interesting statement that said in this particular chapter 20 about Moses and about Aaron. And so they complain about it, and it says, very fascinating, and we go to, let's see. They complained almost similar to what the two brothers of Reuben complained about? Remember what the two brothers of Reuben complained about? Do you remember what it was? You don't remember. They accused Moses of not bringing them into the promised land of milk and honey. They considered him, what? An irresponsible leader, and they, these two brothers, would take the people of Israel into the promised land because Moses is incompetent. And remember, Moses said, come here and talk to me. And what did they say? No, I'm not going. So what did Moses do? He went to them. Remember that? And then, of course, it caused the life of the two families. And it terrified the people, but the people were not terrified of God. Who they're terrified of? Why? What did Moses say? You remember what he said? Now, God didn't tell him to say this. But what did Moses say about the two brothers? If they die of natural death, then they're no big thing. But if the earth opens up and swallows them, wow, down they went. Now, God didn't tell Moses to say that. Moses just did it. Now, keep a couple of things in mind. Moses is a man of God. He knew God. He understood God. He honored God. But something took place here in the 20th chapter which seemed to backfire the whole thing. We'll talk about that in open honesty. Now, we talked about the thing in the water. And what did Moses do? Actually, first of all, what did God have to do? Actually, not just Moses, but Moses and Aaron went to the tabernacle. And he says, and God says, verse 7, and Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, take the rod and gather thou, Moses, the assembly together, and Aaron, your brother, and take ye, plurality form, both of them, unto the rock before their eyes. So you take the leadership, not the whole group, but just the leadership, the ones who are gathering together. And it shall be given forth his water, or the rock will give forth its water, and thou shalt bring them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation the beast to drink. But he did say, speak ye. The word is speak ye. Okay? Now, what did Moses do? Of course, you know, he hit the thing, and he hit it twice. He didn't speak to it, but what else did Moses say? Yes?
He said, must we.
Yeah. We, plurality. Now remember, this is against both Aaron and Moses. Don't assume it's Moses only. It's both of them. We're to speak unto the rock. Both of them were to say something to the rock. Now God didn't say what, except say, rock bring forth water, or whatever. It doesn't tell us what he's supposed to say. Now, did Moses ever strike a rock before and water come out?
Yes.
When? At where? Mount Horeb. Horeb. And he was told by God to strike it. And so he did. Bam. And out came water. Now, he used the rod also to separate the sea. Right? He also used the rod to fight against Amalek. And he used the rod for other things. And during the plague season, during Egypt, he used the rod many times. One of them was to eat a bunch of snakes. You remember that one? And the other one was to strike the dirt. And up came a bunch of fleas or mice or lice or whatever you want to think they are. So the rod is the powerful thing. Now, we don't think a rod being powerful. It's only powerful when God gives, quote, the rod the power. And remember the rod of Aaron? They even after this incident took place, even after the death of Korah and the 250 other Levites, what did God have them do? The leadership. The 12 men who were one, each one of the men were named in the first chapter of the book of Numbers. The names of those men were to go before and bring a rod, their rod, and Aaron's rod, bring it forward and place it before what? Before the Holy of Holy area, not just for the tabernacle, right in front of what's called the mercy seat, but not inside of it, right in front of it. And what transpired? Yeah, it did three things. Always keep that in mind. It did three things. Very, very fascinating of him by itself. It's talking about how the Messiah has done three things, or will be doing three things. It's a power that God has granted unto him. Remember, Jesus said, God has granted me all power, all authority, both in heaven and on earth. So he's got it all. He's got the full rod. And it's a pretty powerful one. And by the way, it's not a rod of stick. It's a rod of iron, right? The new one's going to be a lot stronger than a hardwood branch. And of course, he struck it, and we could say, well, Moses did something wrong. He should not have done that. And says we have already read where he says he used a stick before, and he's done this. Now, verse 12 is very fascinating. I'm going to read the Old King James. Then we'll clarify a little more in the book of Deuteronomy. We'll run forward on that one. He says, because ye, plurality here now, not you, because he said, Yahweh spoke unto Moses and Aaron. Because ye, what did they do? They did something they should not have done. What was the first thing he said they did? They didn't believe him. What did they not believe? Come on, what did they not believe? They did not believe him to speak to the rock. They didn't believe that. Now, that's really strange. Belief? Well, it's a strong word in English, but they didn't act upon what God said. They, quote, did it on their own. And that was the error. You did not believe me. And you didn't sanctify me. Didn't glorify me. You didn't make me hallowed before them. Therefore, ye will not bring them into the promised land. All right. And he called the land what? Verse 13. He called the water of Meriboth. What does Meriboth mean? Meribah. Meribah. It means bitterness, but we think it means bitterness. But what it really refers down is strife, contention, and quarreling. Because that's what the people of Israel were doing. And who were they doing it against? Moses and Aaron. That was their beef. Their beef against it. Just like it was many years earlier with Korah and with the 120 Levites. And with the two brothers of Reuben, family of Reuben. And so we see the same almost pattern over and over again. You think finally get the picture? Well, if they didn't finally get the picture, what does that tell you about you? What does it tell you about us? What does it reveal to you that we should learn from this?
Learn how to learn.
I'm sorry, what?
Learn how to learn.
Learn. And then act upon what you've learned.
We're all due.
Just don't. Well,
we're human.
We're okay.
Well,
not exactly, because we have an opportunity to learn and not act like, not do what they did. We actually could do something else. We could actually believe God and trust in Him. One side note here I want to let you know. When I finish the book of Deuteronomy, what I'm going to do is something entirely different with the whole Torah section. I'm going to go through subject matters that are very, very strong, very, very powerful within the Torah section only, God willing. And we should learn more and more in detail. Because sometimes we got all these words, we understand the words, we understand what he said. He said, yeah, he said this, he said that. But how does all those things he say really and truly relate to us in our lives in the 21st century? Because it seems so long ago. And, you know, we're living in a modern 20th century. We have telephones, we have televisions, we have internet, we have books, we have, when we go grocery stores, you know, we have all the incredible blessings that the 21st century has granted us to have, including having a building for us even to meet in this place. So how does all that relate to it? It seems like it's, the ancient days have no real significant value, but yet we hopefully, God willing, I'll be able to go through that. Now, he said, because you don't believe me, on Deuteronomy, you don't have to turn there, on the very latter part of Deuteronomy 32, starting in verse 48, and Yahuwah has spoken to Moses that very same day, it has a certain specific day, we were not there in Deuteronomy, and go up to this mountain of Rim, mountain of Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I will give to the children of Israel, and die on the mountain which you ascend. Okay. That's a big one. You mean if I climb that mountain, I'm going to die? Yeah. Okay. How many of you would climb a mountain and knowing God's going to take your life? How many would you do that? Well, it takes a very honorable, respectful, and knowing man at this point in time in his life to be able to do it willingly. We'll get to that in a minute. And Deuteronomy 23, verse 51, because you transgressed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribath Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, because you did not hallow me in the midst of the children of Israel. Now, that's a very serious thing, isn't it? So Moses was not kept going to the promised land because he struck a rock. Moses didn't go to the promised land because of why? He didn't hallow. And the beginning of what's called the Lord's Prayer, what does it say? Hallowed be thy name. That's very important to God. And he didn't. Neither did Aaron. So we have a picture here of, wow, this is pretty heavy stuff for a man that is a man of God, man of earth. There's a very fascinating thing I want to backtrack on, though, because I think it's very, very interesting that we learn something. Verse 13. It's kind of awkward reading in English. But after God said in verse 12, that's it, you'll not go in there. Okay. And this was the water of Meribah, the strife and the quarreling or the bickering, which the people of Israel. Moses was not quarreling about water, nor was Aaron quarreling about water. The people were complaining and quarreling with Moses and Aaron about no water. When you do that, you're speaking against the creator of heaven and earth, biblically speaking here. Because the children of Israel have strove with Yahweh. Now it says here, and he was sanctified in them. Now that means, at that point in time, Yahuwah was more hallowed, began to be hallowed, honored, and given praise, and given honor, and hallowed Yahweh more than ever before. They re-raised him up to a high level. Both of them came to a greater glory and honor of Yahuwah. Because why? Their life was now coming to an end because of what they did. And lo and behold, what do you do when God says, I'm going to take your life? Now, in our world, we might get mad at him. Right? We might get mad at him. Oh, it really, can't you forgive me? Well, not this time. But, not this time. The answer is no. But, no. How many times do I have to say no? They didn't even quarrel with God. They didn't challenge God. They didn't come and say, God, please forgive us. They just did what? Accepted the death sentence. Wow. Talk about courageous men. Brave men. Honorable men. Who are willing to take what God said, you're not going to go there. Because you did not honor me. Do not hallow my name. You do not honor me. You have sinned against me, and I'm not going to overlook this. But in 40 years, it's been for Moses 80, 120 years. I'm sorry, I'm not gonna overlook this thing. That's God. And we like for God to be fair, right? We need God to be the one who is merciful and full of love and full of compassion and mercy. Well, yes. However, you remember what happened when the spies went in and then they came back out? What was the number? What was the number? God said, this is it. 10 times you have tried me. That is the end of it. You will not enter in. That's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Now, toward the end of this time, yes.
Can we count 10 times that Moses tried the Lord?
So, yeah.
And it is actually 10 too?
Yeah. This should make someone who is in a position of, including a teacher, in leadership of anybody, or God has placed them in a position, they should fear the Lord. Because he could take away their life. All right? Honor and hallow him and give him the praise and give him the glory. You don't take credit for what God has said. Just say what God has said and give God the credit. It makes sense to you? I hope so. We go in the 14th verse here now. The subject matter seemed to change quickly. Now Moses is on the journey. He's ready to tell them now, we are going to leave. I sent the message from Kadesh, that's where Miriam died, to the king of Edom, and asked if they could cross over. God told Moses, you will not go to war against Edom. You will not go to war against Edom. Edom went to war against them, that's one thing, but they are not to go to war against Edom. That's amazing. Could you, if your country, if your people were in danger and being attacked by, quote, Edom, what would you do? Well, you would counterattack. It's a natural thing to do, right? I'm going to defend my family. I'm going to defend my country. I'm going to defend my people. I'm not going to let them die at the hand. Guess what? They fled. They disappeared. You mean this mighty, 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 mighty Israel fled? Yeah. God said to them, do not go to war with them. Okay. Can we go by the highway? No. Okay. It's a lot of... They were in a hardship, right? Very difficult route. Go ahead.
Sometimes it's easy to forget that he's a parent, because there's, I can't find it right now, but it's in the prophets where God says to his people, I lay it before you, what else could I have done with you?
That's in the process,
I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and you didn't respond. I did this and this, and you didn't respond. What else could I have done? And as a parent, I can relate to that.
And we won't go to Numbers, the 33rd chapter, but there's a series of all the things, the journeys that they went, and to let you know that they left the land of wilderness of Zion and went to Mount Hor. And there they stayed for a while, and they were going to go into the promised land from that point on. That's when Edom said, no, you cannot go, to break you up to history. And so we're at a point now. We have to ask ourselves. I want to go to verse 21. And Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Therefore, Israel turned away from him. And then they fled because the army was coming. They fled. Now, they had to flee from the place. Where'd they go? Well, they had to flee into a place called Mount Hor. And they took off. They didn't stay to fight. And something happened at Mount Hor. What happened at Mount Hor? Okay. Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and Aaron, verse 23, in Mount Hor, by the coastland of Eden. So it's by Eden, but not in Eden. It's on the coastland, by the waterway. You remember what? Why the Red Sea is called the Red Sea, where Edom is at? Because it's red. Edom means red. They had that territory. That sea was named after Esau himself, because that was his territory. Remember during the time of Jacob, when he came and his brothers attacking him or coming after him, he came from that area with another army and came with them to destroy his brother. And of course, it didn't happen because God didn't allow it to happen. But nonetheless, it's along that area, which is called the Red Sea, which is not a separation of Egypt and Syria. I mean, Egypt and Sinai Peninsula, between the Sinai Peninsula and Saudi Arabia today. That's where that Red Sea technically was called, because it's named after the Red Man. If you understand that. Verse 40. Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. So Aaron and Eleazar, the son, Eleazar now becomes the high priest. And he passed it on to Aaron, or passed it on to his son. Now, how many years was it since Edom? What year was this? Do you remember what year it was? We go back to Exodus, Numbers 33. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read part of it, starting in verse 36 of Numbers 33. And they moved from Ezron Geber and camped in the wilderness of Zin. That's where Miriam died, which is Kadesh. And they moved from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor on the boundary of the land of Eden. And Aaron the priest went up to Mount Hor. This is in the 33rd chapter now. We're not there yet. At the commandment of Yahuwah, and died there in the 40th year after the children of Israel had come out of the land of Egypt. So we kind of know what year it was. 40th year when they came out of the land of Egypt. So I'm thinking, this is my thinking, and only my thinking, it's not worth much, but just, I think Miriam also died in the 40th year. The way it's kind of worded here, Kadesh. He sent messages up there. Now, when did Aaron die? in the fifth month. Miriam died in the first month. Aaron died in the fifth month. And we will find out when Moses died. We'll find out when Moses died. Very fascinating to know what's fascinating as we go along. But now, as we go into the rest of the Numbers, we won't go there today. There are some things that, once again, Numbers is not necessary in what we call chronological order. Now, just stop and think for just a minute. Remember I read 17, 18, and 19th chapter? It was quite a long time. I told you the pattern, 1, 2, 3. Now we go in the 20th chapter. There's another pattern. Same picture took place that took place in Korah and took same place, no, not with Korah, but took same place with the two brothers, complained about Aaron and Moses having too much power. Now, instead, God didn't kill them. He didn't kill them at that point in time. Because this is the end of the generation. We're talking 40 years later, so an awful lot of new people are now ready to enter the promised land. And more than likely, probably the ones who are complaining might have been some of the elder people have not yet died, especially the men of war, and the leadership have not yet died and of the tribes. I don't know. It's just my assumption. But they have not, the leadership of the army has not yet finished its job. The only two men who were in the army that went into the promised land were whom? Caleb and Joshua, the only two. So in verse 29, it's very, in Numbers 29, and the entire congregation saw Aaron was dead. They mourned for Aaron about 30 days, like a whole month. Now remember, he died in the fifth month. So now, at the end of the 20th chapter, we are in the beginning of the sixth month of this 40th year. Right? So this is where we're at right now in the book of Numbers. Now we're going to find some stories that has happened before we go into the promised land that they had to fight with and they had to quarrel with and they had to bicker with, and then Aaron's name will come back up again, because we're not talking in chronological order. We're talking about events and events and events. This event and that event parallel and that event parallel. One of the three have to say together. That's how God always teaches people. How He teaches you, how He teaches me, and that's how we are to be taught. Because see, sometimes human beings do this. If it's not in chronological order, somebody's lying to me. Well, God doesn't care about that one. Do you understand this one? Yeah. You understand that one? Yeah. You understand this one? Yeah. You don't need to know anything else except, do you understand it? Yes, I do. Now act upon it. And this is kind of important in my explanation here I can do to you today. We are here now at a point where we're going to find some battles as we continue on. And in the latter part of the book, it tells you how many actual encampments God sent them into. And the total number is 42. It's an interesting number. We will get there when we get there. And God had named them, placed them there over and over to lead them, to teach them, to understand them. But see, we don't have in the history, we don't have what took place in each one of those 40 encampments, or 42. We have some of them, the very Genesis, Exodus, where it talks about what happened in some of them. And in this one here, we happen to know what happened in that one. Miriam died. And we happen to know what happened in Mount Hor, Aaron died. And later on, we'll find out where Moses died. It was also a place where God placed them. Okay? So we have some idea of the pattern. We don't need to know the exact order or what took place in each one of the encampments. Actually, the book of Deuteronomy explains what Moses was doing all those 40 years. We will get there when we get there. Any questions? Any ideas? Any thoughts?
since just about everything in these texts have an overlay of a prophecy, there's got to be some prophecy of the fact that Moses and Aaron, neither of them went into the promised land at that time.
Correct.
I don't know, have any idea what it is. I can't find it, but can you think of anything?
I have tried to find out. My mind has to do something with Elohim and something to do with Jesus. There's got to be a pattern here. They could not enter into something until a certain thing took place first. All right. John. John has something to say.
Yeah, I'm actually going to speak a little bit about that in a second session. With regard to the pattern of Moses. A little bit today.
Good.
I'll wait till I'm up there, as I'm pinch hitting for Daniel today, to fill everybody in on it.
I think there might be a small hint of it when you read the story about the 10 spies when the original, 12 spies went in, that original story, when only Caleb and Joshua came back with the honest report.
Okay.
God says, he makes a hint, he says that this whole generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, will pass away in the wilderness. And Moses and Aaron, like it or not, they're of that older generation. So you might see there could be a little hint in there.
But on the other hand, I would say this much, okay? Moses and Aaron were not allowed to go in because of what they did about not speaking of the rock. I think they could have entered in as the other two did, but they did something different than what the spies did. They didn't give an evil report. They just didn't honor God, which is a little bit different. If you are in the position of leadership, you are in the position to teach the people and lie to the people and guide the people, rather. Did I say lie? I didn't mean that. To guide the people and to give them direction and to teach them about God. And we get the book of Moses and the book of Deuteronomy. We'll go in more detail of how Moses did it. Yes.
Okay, they were wrong. But God could have said, okay, you guys, you have to do this, or this. He could have made it some penance or something, repentance they had to do. He picked the worst thing to Moses and Aaron that could have happened. There's got to be a prophecy in it. But the reason that he picked something so extreme.
The only thing that brought my mind, I don't know, has any relationship whatsoever to it, but it was when the contention of the body of Moses. Okay, because they would have done something with the body of Moses. They would have built a statue. And we would know what Moses looked like today if they built a statue. You know, we have our famous men who have built him a statue. We know what Julius Caesar looked like, and they made a statue of him. They put plaster on his face and looked exactly what he looked like, and then they made a statue of him. And they honored him. They glorified him. Because people do that.
You'd have relics of bones of Moses sold all over the world. This is a piece of Moses' hair or whatever. People... A statue of Zeus, right.
The word says that God will share his glory with no one. And the picture that I get when Moses hits the rock and says, do we have to bring water out of this? So what they're doing is they're saying it's, I'm the one bringing the water forth.
Because I am holy.
Bringing that out, that they basically were showing the people that it was in their own power by the words that came out of their mouth. They were stealing the glory. And you've talked now again about the... how careful teachers have to be, because that influence is so great. And they already were thinking a lot of what had happened was at Moses' hand.
Now, remember, they mourned for 30 days for the death of Aaron. When we get in the book of Deuteronomy, we'll see they also mourned certain days for the death of Moses. Remember, it's a younger generation that entered into the promised land. Leadership was changed now. The only leadership that was powerful enough to lead was Joshua and Caleb. Even Joshua and Caleb had a couple of words with each other, but we'll get to there. Yes?
It just seems a very strong admonishment to anybody who decides that they want to be a teacher of God's people.
It's very important, and what you're saying is very, very important, you know. When I was ordained, they expected me to rule over the people. And I'm a pretty good ruler. I mean, I got you all under my thumb, right?
Not.
Not. What? What do you mean not? She means not. No. All I'm supposed to do is teach you what it says. The best of my ability. And I know that that's what Jeff does. He teaches the very best of his ability. He doesn't have any jurisdiction over anybody. He may have jurisdiction over his wife, but then she may say, "No, wait a minute." You know, but I'm just being funny. But you understand what I'm saying. If there are no more questions, we are got in it kind of early. Surprising, like last year. Yes.
This is off that subject, but the mindset of the Lord is not to do it in chronological order in
Correct.
Any. But the mindset of all the people of the world, except for the Jews, is to just be wanting to know this happened and then this happened.
In the series, you're right. We want to know history. Guess what? The word history means the story of man. We want to know precisely event, one after event, after event, after event.
So is that European as well, that they also want to know what happened, this one and then this one? I mean, the mindset of the Eastern
people.
Human
beings do not learn from history.
Uh-huh.
They'll repeat the same thing again and again and again. Even the Word of God. Yeah. Even the events. You should learn something from these events. Mm-hmm. However, they repeat the same event again in a different fashion, but still repeat the same event.
Right.
Because human beings have a tendency to want to, I don't want to say rule themselves, okay? Have the wisdom within themselves, have the insight within themselves, have the ability to be smart with inside themselves. It doesn't happen. God says, all you're getting, what are you supposed to get? And understanding. And all you're getting, get wisdom and understanding. Period. Point blank. Of course, you have to be educated to get that. You've got to be educated by the Word of God and not by people.
I just read here that the water stopped because the people didn't mourn for Miriam's death and that Miriam was holy. So is that significant in...
I would say that's probably not significant. I don't think they needed to mourn for her because in one way she was not a leadership role in that sense. She was not out there, leading and guiding and directing people. A respectful lady, yes. Honorable lady, yes. And there's no mention of anybody mourning her death. I don't know if any woman, closest one that might have been close to being mourned would have been Sarah and been mourned by her own son, but it would be a family member that would have been mourned for that one. That's my thinking. I don't have an answer for you completely, to the honest truth. That's just my thinking or guessing.
Well, they wrote that it's Miriam's death and the lack of water. The death of Miriam is juxtaposed with the chapter of the red cow. And though they are widely separated chronologically, to teach that just as the offerings bring atonement to the nation, so does the death of righteous people.
Yeah. God set Moses and Aaron up for a reason. Okay. Aaron, though, was older. Moses was the one God chose. And though Miriam was older than both, God chose her to keep an eye and watchful eye upon Moses and make sure it was going to be put into the right hands and had to be put in the hands of Pharaoh's daughter. And then that was a blessing for Moses, not a curse. And actually a blessing for the house of Israel. in a long run. But the women are not, this is God. If I said it before, and I'll say it again, the Bible is very male-orientated. And it's very male-orientated because God made it male-orientated for a reason. Do I agree with him? I better. Could I disagree with him? It'd be foolishness. Sarah was the first woman that actually gave how old she was when she died. The only woman in the entire Bible that we know how old she was when she died. No other woman we know. I don't know why. Maybe have a greater reason that we don't need to know yet.
Miriam had already gotten in God's face once, and he didn't kill her. He gave her leprosy for a space.
Oh, yeah.
It's, for me, as a woman, I think he is gentler with women. Therefore, he doesn't put us in a position like Moses and Aaron that can get killed over in a word.
Yeah.
To me, she was blessed by not being one of the two people who were running the show.
But Miriam, actually, who did Miriam speak against? Moses. She spoke against Moses. Now, God said, Moses, I'll make you an Elohim. And I'll make your brother Aaron your prophet. He made no other statement. There is not a three thing with God. It's a two thing with God.